Lester team, they did such an awesome job with the dinner last night. It's wonderful, and praise God for the team that did a wonderful, wonderful job. So bless you. We just finished our 20 days of prayer and fasting, and it's been wonderful to have that time set aside. We had some great times of gathering as a church to pray, and those corporate prayer times, and very powerful times. And just encourage you to keep praying. Don't stop praying now after 20 days, but it was a wonderful time of prayer and fasting. Just before I get into the word, I just want to, you see, it must be the toilet paper Sunday. But look, I just want to say something. Look, I'm just absolutely flabbergasted, actually, with the response, particularly in Australia, to this virus that is going around. And so many people are putting their trust in Lord Quilton or Lord Kleenex, but not in Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that the veracity or the desperation of people to grab some toilet paper will one day be the desperation that they're going to want. They want Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, this is not going to save you from anything, even from the virus. Like, you know, you can't eat it. It's not going to stop, you know, anything happening. But Jesus Christ will save people totally and completely. So we just pray that people will turn to him. And also, as the people of God, it's really important we don't give way to fear. We don't give way to fear. We've been singing about the victory of Jesus Christ. This is when your faith actually matters. When there's something happening, are you really a person of faith? Or is it just a song that you sang on Sunday? Or do you really trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really trust him that he's going to look after you, that he'll protect you? Now, we're not silly. We don't run around coughing all over everybody and whatever. But we don't run around hoarding toilet paper or going crazy. Right? We trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I pray that this epidemic, which anyway, I can't get over how crazy people are, but that out of this, people will actually become desperate and turn to Jesus Christ, and they'll stop running around trying to hoard this. Like, and just one little thing, please don't put these in the offering bags, they do actually clog them up. So, but we just pray for a bit of sanity, amen. But pray that people would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does anyone desperately need some toilet paper? Because they can have this roll. Anybody want this? Do I have any? No. Anybody want this toilet paper? Well, here you go. Paul wants it. Paul, you want the toilet paper? Here you go. Oh, sorry. Oh, there you go. Oh, sorry. Five people just killed each other trying to grab that roll then. So. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, Lord, because you're a faithful God. And, Lord, that we don't give way to fear and we don't get caught up in the hysteria of panic. But, Lord, we have the anchor of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we trust you. And, Lord, we're not caught up in the worries and the fears that grip the world. But, Lord, we trust our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, they're not just words that we sing in a song. Lord, it's something that we believe fundamentally, Lord. We trust you, Lord. And Lord, we're not foolish, we're not presumptuous, but Lord, we are trusting and we know that you're a faithful God. So Father, as we open your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you speak to us, Lord, as we understand more and more that your faithfulness in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to read a passage, a little, two or three verses, a passage of scripture, which it's a powerful little passage about God being faithful. And our theme, of course, is faithful, which we all understand that that's our theme for the year. And it's one of Paul's five faithful sayings. In the scripture, there's five different times when Paul says, this is a faithful saying, or this is a trustworthy saying. And the word trustworthy is exactly the identical word for faithful. And so this is a faithful saying. So I want to read this. It's possibly a hymn. It was very well known as either a hymn or a poem or a saying, but something that the early Christians all knew, all understood. It was something that was very common that they spoke of, and it speaks very much about the faithfulness of God. And so I want to share a little bit about that this morning. So it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And so this is a saying, very common saying, that people would have known, people would have understood, which Paul is quoting here to Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying, or this is a faithful saying. This is something that's very faithful, something that's trustworthy. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, then we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, I don't know what he's going to put that to music, if it was a hymn or whether it was a poem or whether it was just a saying that they would say together as believers. It was something that was very common and very well known. And so I just want to speak a little bit about this because it speaks of the faithfulness of God. And as I said a moment ago, we're going to trust God. God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you sound like you believe it. God is faithful. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now you sound like you believe it. He is a faithful God. And one of the first parts of the first line of this saying is really important because it speaks to us of the unending faithfulness of God, that we who were separated from the Lord because of our own sin, because of our own self, because of our own hard-heartedness, our stubbornness, our rebellion to the things of God, our sinful life, our sinful nature, because of that we were separated from God. But because of the faithfulness of God, because of his faithfulness, that we have life in Jesus Christ. It says, if we died with him, we will also live with him. And when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, when we gave our heart to him, when we apprehended his life, it's like we actually died at that time. It's our old self, is that we're putting our old self apart and saying, Lord, all the sin, all the rubbish, the junk of my life, Lord, I just want to lay that aside. And then all that, he takes that, and it's like that's all nailed on the cross, because all the punishment that was due us because of those things is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a new life. We're born again. We have a new life. We're new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, that's here and now, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And so we died with him. When he died on the cross, when we accept Jesus, all the old self, all of that is dead and buried. And that's why baptism is important. It's an important symbol of that, that when we go down in the water, it's like we're reminding us that we're dead and buried and we've come up, been raised again as a new person to a new life. And so baptism is important as it reminds us of what we apprehended when we received the Lord Jesus Christ. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I praise God for that I've been crucified with Christ. And Romans 6:4, as I mentioned, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so what a wonderful thing to affirm right at the very beginning is that this hymn or poem, this catch cry, this phrase that they would say together, that if I died with him, we will also live with him. And we need to know that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have given our heart to him, that we have that promise of eternal life, that we will live with him, not just when we die in eternity. We live with him now every day. That's why we're not the toilet paper people. We are the people of faith because we're living with him every day. Amen? And so I praise God for that if we died with him, we'll also live with him. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to allow all of the junk of your life to be dead and buried and allow the holiness and the life of Christ to be given to you. And not only then have for this life, but also for eternity. So I encourage you that if we died with him, we will also live with him. And then the next little part of this phrase that was very well known, and we want to grab a hold of this in our own hearts, if we endure, we will also reign with him. And what a wonderful encouragement. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure, and we're talking about enduring, it's talking about enduring. The sense of that word is in the context of suffering. If you hold on there, if you hang on through times of suffering, when you're going through the difficulties, when you're going through the trials, there is that promise that not only if you have salvation, but because you're going to hold on and you're going to go through those trials, go through those sufferings, there is a crown, there is a reward that awaits us for having done that as we trust in the Lord, as we have him as the anchor of our soul. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And look, there's people who go through a whole lot of stuff, a lot of hard things. And but I praise God that when we endure, not only does the Lord help us in the midst of whatever we're going through, we're never alone for one moment. Not only does he strengthen us, not only does he, when your own human emotion, when your own physical strength, when your own intellect and trying to work out what to do, when all of those things are gone and fail, we have the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He gives us strength, gives us life, gives us hope, gives us wisdom, gives us a way, brings the answer. And we thank him for that, that he's there. If we endure, there's that wonderful promise of reward. And James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. So hang in there. Blessed if you hang in there. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so we're going to hang in there. We're going to hang in there. We're going to endure. So last Sunday during the worship time, just as I was there, I had this vision, if you like. Eyes were closed, so it was a picture more in my mind than a vision with my eyes open. But I just saw, it was like a man standing, and there was like a waterfall, water coming over, and this man there, and water's just pouring over with quite strong force against this man. And the man's standing there in the midst of that, and I could just sense in the heart of this man there was some discouragement because they'd been praying, and but all I could see in this mind picture, this vision, the force of the water was still pushing them on, just standing there. They're trying to stand against this water. And in the person's mind was this thought, look, I've been praying and I've been standing, but the water's still coming the same and nothing's really happening. And look, we can be challenged on that when you're in a situation, it looks like nothing is happening. Someone does something very dear to my heart that we've been praying for. Someone close to us said, why isn't God doing something? Why is nothing happening? And I said, no, God is doing something. But the reassurance to me, but also to all of us that I saw in this vision is that with this water, even though it was sort of pouring over this, like a waterfall there, but as the person was there standing, I saw there below the waterline, so you couldn't actually see this, you wouldn't be able to see it, but there was like smooth stones about the size of bricks just being laid, bang, 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 bang. Rows of bricks. Now the water was still coming over, but eventually they just got to it and then all the water stopped. But in the middle of that, this person is thinking there's nothing happening because they couldn't see that these rows of stones or bricks that were being laid there. And so we've got to endure. Sometimes you think, Lord, I still feel it. I'm still in the middle of it. But the Lord's actually doing something. He's laying something there. And then bang, it all stops. So don't give up. If we endure to the end, there's a promise of that wonderful reward if we hang in. God's doing stuff, even when you don't see that him doing stuff. So never despair. Never despair. Never give up. He is faithful. And if we endure, when we will also reign with him. And Paul, at the end of his life, he makes this wonderful statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those that have longed for his appearing. And so a wonderful, wonderful promise. We stand firm. And so we've got to remember that we have the promise of eternal life, and there is reward in that. There is reward in just being faithful. Just being faithful. Just standing by when everything else seems to be crazy around. No, I'm faithful. I'm trusting in God. Doesn't seem to be, no, I'm trusting in God. Seems a bit open. No, I'm trusting in God. And we just hold on to him. And if we endure, not only will we see the answer, but there is a reward in that as well. Wonderful reward in that. Trusting God. And it's not just rhetoric. It's not just something that we say. They're not just songs we sing. It's something that's got to be deep within the fabric of who we are. That God is faithful and we trust him completely, totally and explicitly. We hold on to him in every situation. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. These are if statements here. You can choose not to endure and then you can forfeit the benefit of that. You won't lose your salvation, but the blessing of holding on, God will bring blessing. He'll bless you in ways that you not even imagine. So we hold on, we endure. We never give up. If we endure, we will also reign with him. So the first line of this poem, if you like, or hymn or catchphrase, if we died with him, we will always also live with him. And so we have that promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, I suggest you do. Find out him, meet him, allow him to touch your life. If we died with him, we will also live with him forever. The promise of eternal life. If we endure, then we will also reign with him. And so we want to hold on. We're going to stand firm. Whatever happens, we hold firm in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't give way to fear. We trust him. We're not foolish. We're not unwise. But we don't let fear rule our lives. And we know that we're going to endure all things. And that we'll also then will reign with him. And then we get to the third line of this. And this is probably the hardest one of this little faithful saying. Remember, this is a faithful saying. It's a trustworthy saying. And so he's saying, and so it really puts this in a little category of saying, grab a hold of this. Really make sure you get a hold of this. And we want to get a hold of these things. What about the third line? First two seem really positive, and they are positive. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. And then we get to the third line, and it says this. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Ooh. Now, what about that? What actually is all this about? And it's an interesting little statement that is in there. Because it actually opens up a big can of worms when I actually say that statement. And actually there's, in Christendom, there's been, mainly for the last 500 or 600 years particularly, a lot of debate about this, and particularly what about someone's salvation and where do people stand in that? And if we disown him, he will also disown us. And so you have monergism, which is basically Calvinism, which is saying that everything is done by God. And so God chose who we want to get saved. He's the one only involved in that. And if you follow him, no matter whatever you do, he said he's going to save you. He chose you and you're saved forever. Once saved, always saved. So there's this attitude that's there. Then there's the flip side when Arminianism, which is mainly through, started earlier. Wesley became like the champion of that, which really talks a lot about human will and the human part in that and really that it's a lot really up to us as people. Now, in this whole thing, I really go with what Spurgeon was really taught more than that, which is the middle of those things. It's both things, the sovereignty of God, his election, his choice, but also human will, that we can choose God or we can reject him, and we can walk with God or we can walk away from him, we can disown him. And so it says in Matthew 10:32-33, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before the Father in heaven. But there's strong wording there. And some people say when it says denying there, it's actually talking about, oh, you'll lose your reward. And now it is true. If someone is not walking with the Lord, if you're casual and not faithful in your relationship with God, and other things take precedence in your life, other things take priority in your life, you will lose something. You might not lose your salvation because you haven't totally disowned him. You haven't actually publicly disowned him and said, I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm now a Muslim. I'm now this or I'm now that or whatever. And maybe someone's just been very casual and flippant and they've allowed other things to take priority in their life. And so they don't go to church or maybe every now and again they might make an appearance or they never pray, never read the word, don't do anything. They actually get caught up in seeking pleasure and doing all this other stuff and whatever, and they're not going to necessarily lose their salvation, but they will lose a lot in the process. They lose the blessing and favor of God upon their lives. There is a loss there. There is something to be lost. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, and it talks about the works of your life. What are you building up? What are you actually putting your focus on? How are you building in your life? It says, it's burned up. The builder will suffer loss. So this is at the end times when the Lord looks and says, okay, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your life? What did you do? And it says, it is burned up. If it is burned up, so it talks about building works of gold, silver or costly stones or wood or straw. And it says, if what you've done, if your priority of your life was very fickle, very loose, not so faithful, if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the flames. And I'm sure there are many people like that, that have allowed other things to become the priority of their life and their heart. And they might have known the things of God, but oh, that job became good, and then the overtime became great, and then out of that they had money to do this, and they had sought the pleasures of this and ran away doing all of these things. And so where does it leave them? Well, I think some of those people, they haven't actually disowned the Lord. They've just slid in away. They've allowed other things to overtake their life. And I believe they're going to be ones that who are going to be escaping like through the flames unless they again reorientate their life and make the Lord their center. And so it is a big issue, and I don't want to open the can of worms too far. But there is a loss for somebody who isn't faithfully pursuing the things of God. They're going to miss out on the blessing of God, his protection, his favor, his blessing, all of those things. They walk away from that umbrella of his protection and they'll lose, but they're not necessarily not going to be saved at the end. But it is possible for someone to totally disown the Lord. It is possible for that. And the scripture makes it very clear that if we do that, it says in 2 Peter 2:20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing it won't come up, but 2 Peter 2:20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have again entangled themselves and are overcome, they are worse off than in the end than they were at the beginning. And so I think if somebody actually turns around and totally disowns Jesus Christ, I'm no longer a Christian, I'm now becoming a Muslim, or I'm totally making, then in trouble, because there are warnings in the scripture. But we've got to balance those things together, because it talks also in the scripture, it talks about may the God himself in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the God of grace sanctify you through and through, may your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. And so we've got to believe, and if you've got a member of your family that is not walking with the Lord and has slipped away, and unless they've actually disowned him, and I think that's very strong for someone to disown them, I think more than anything, they've slid in away. Now, they may be one who escapes as if through the fire because they gave their heart to Christ, but they haven't built anything in their life of any enduring value. And so there's no reward in heaven for them because they haven't built anything of faith. They haven't built anything. So our heart is if we do have anyone that has slid in away, that they will come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saying they're not saved anymore. We're saying that maybe they, if they don't turn, maybe they'll scrape through. But the works will come to nothing. But we are faithful people of God, and we want to stand faithful in the things of God and know that God is faithful. And really that's what I want to focus on, really, is the fourth line of this particular poem or hymn or saying. So the first line is, if we died with him, we will also live with him. Amen? If we endure, we will also reign with him. Amen? Amen. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Amen. Okay, good, but not quite as enthusiastic. Look, there are warnings in Scripture about making sure that we keep our lives in line with the things of God. Many, many warnings. There's many warnings about the promises that in God. For example, it's in Timothy that it tells us that what we've entrusted to him, God is faithful and he's going to look after that. And so we've got to put these things together. If somebody willfully and disowns and knowingly disowns, is different from someone that is just in a slipped away state. So I don't want you to be worried, but I want you to be praying. If you've got family members who aren't walking with the Lord, pray for them. Because if they've known the Lord, they must probably make it in the end, but they're missing out. And they're not only missing out on the benefit here, but they're also going to miss out on reward in eternity. So if they scrape through to heaven, which I would say most, unless it's a very strong thing to disown the Lord, they're going to miss out. But also they've missed out on eternity because they've built nothing of enduring value. So we want to encourage people to be faithful. And I know that you're faithful praying for loved ones who aren't walking with the Lord at the moment. But verse 13, the final verse, this is the part I really want to focus on today. But I can't ignore that previous saying because it's there. But it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And that's what I really want to hone on today. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, some people are saying, oh, yes, he's remaining, and by that's a very small minority, would say that, oh, he's faithful because he's going to punish those who aren't following him. Well, that's not, if you actually read the scripture, whenever God talks about faithfulness, it's never in the context of judgment. It's always in the faithfulness and love of God going together. His heart to us, his goodness to us, his grace to us, his love to us. And this saying is really important at the end. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Because the very nature and heart of God is he's faithful. I've said this before. He is a faithful God. He is, and that doesn't change. He is a faithful God. He's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to himself. Says he cannot deny himself. And so if we are faithless, hands up if you've ever been faithless in your life. And Lord, forgive all those lying people who don't have their hands up. I'll tell you what, every one of us has been faithless at some time. And by faithless, it doesn't mean lacking faith. It doesn't mean not having faith. Because we've all had times that we haven't had faith. You might have run out and bought some toilet paper extra. I don't know, maybe you did. If you did, by the way, I don't want you to go home and feel guilty and, you know, have a ceremonial burning of the toilet paper or anything. I don't want you to feel guilty about that if you did. We've all lacked faith in different situations. We all have. And let's be honest, we all have. But that's not what this verse is saying and talking about. It says, if we are faithless, it's not talking about not having faith. It's actually in a way that is unfaithful. It's not actually following or living or walking consistently with what we have professed. And I'm sure every one of us, if we're honest, we have been faithless in that sense in some way. We've said some things that we shouldn't have said. We've thought some things that we shouldn't have thought. We did some things perhaps that we shouldn't have done. Or even there are things that we know that we should have done and we didn't do them. And the scripture says, he who knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it, to him that is sin. And so we've all been faithless in that way. And so, but the beautiful promise in this is that if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For see, God's nature doesn't change according to us. God is who he is. And despite our own weaknesses, our own human frailties, God is still faithful. And that's why if anyone is slipped away or walked away from the Lord, we can come running back to him. And he will lovingly receive us. He receives every one of us. He loves us if we turn our hearts to him. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And so he is there. He's always there. And so it doesn't matter where we are. We can always come back to him. We can always turn our hearts to him. If we've been casual in our relationship with God, we've been flippant about the things of God, if we haven't really taken them all that seriously, we had a 20 days of prayer and fasting. Oh, yeah, well, what was that all about? Well, if we're not faithful, God's still faithful, even if we weren't. He's faithful. If we don't do what we should or we do the wrong things, he remains faithful. And it tells us, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So we have a faithful God. And the other thing about the faithfulness of God, he knows your weakness. He knows your frailty. He knows our failures. He knows what we're like. And he doesn't just come down and condemn us because of those things. He just pours his love and his grace and says, come on, keep coming. He doesn't disown us. He'll never disown us. And the promise in Scripture too is that no one can ever snatch you out of the Lord's hand. The devil can't take you off out and take you out of the Lord's hand. He's going to hold you in the palm of his hand. He holds on to those. Now, we can walk away from the Lord, and or else worse than that, we can actually disown him, which I put in a different category, being totally apostate sort of a state. But if we are faithless, God is faithful. And I praise God for that. He's always faithful, even when you let him down. And we all let him down. God still loves us the same. God's heart doesn't change to us. God's love is not conditional. Neither is his faithfulness. He's just a faithful God. He's faithful to us. He's always there. He's always loving us. He's always encouraging us. He's always helping us. Because we know that we can't do it without him. Amen? We can't do it without him. But he empowers us by his Spirit. He gives us his love and he gives us grace. And even if we are faithless, we muck it up. If we, oh, Lord, yep, sorry, I should have, I didn't. Oh, no, he's faithful. He remains faithful. And to me, this is the climax of this saying. If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He can't stop loving you. because that's his very nature. He can't stop being faithful to you because that's his very nature. He can't disown himself. He's faithful, and so he's always there for us. God is a faithful God. We want to walk as faithful people. And even though we can be fickle sometimes, God is never fickle. God is always faithful. He's always there for us in every situation. I just want to close with this beautiful story that I read. And, well, when you hear the story, you might think that's not so beautiful. Well, let me tell you the story. This goes back into 1921, about a young Swedish couple, and they felt the call of God to be missionaries in Africa, in Belgian Congo. At that time it was called, it's now called Zaire. Zaire, I don't know how to say it, probably Zaire. You say it however you like it. There's a proper way and there's the way I say it. But there's a couple, David and Svea Flood, and Joel and Bertha Eriksson. Now, Svea Flood was, she was a very well-known singer. She was incredibly beautiful, and she was a very famous singer in Sweden, very, very well known. But she was a Christian, and so with her husband and also with this other couple, the Eriksson couple, they felt the call of God to be missionaries to Africa. So she gave up the fame of the stage and all the lights and all the money and everything else and went with her husband and with this other couple. They went to be missionaries in the Congo. And so they went to this particular village that they were assigned to go to. And so they went through, they hacked their way through the jungle, through mosquito-infested places. And they finally got to the village where they'd been assigned. This is the village we want you to reach and to minister through the missionary organization. And so that they were there. But the villagers wouldn't receive them. In fact, wouldn't even let them in their village. So what they did is they actually built a couple of mud huts. And then they were there, and they're just going to be faithfully praying for the opportunity to go in there. But after 6 months, they were there, and they weren't eating properly, a bit of malnutrition, a little weakened immunity systems. And the couple that went with the famous singer, the Erikens, that couple decided to go back to the capital and left them there. Now, the Floods, who were the famous singer and her husband, they wanted to leave too. They'd had enough after 6 months. But she was pregnant and she had malaria. And so she wasn't fit to travel at that time. And so she wasn't really well. But a little boy did come. Out of the whole village, you wanted nothing to do with them. One little boy used to come and used to sit with her, and she used to talk to him. And out of all of their efforts, there's only one little boy gave his heart to the Lord. The time came for her to give birth to the baby. She gave birth to the baby, and then this famous, beautiful singer who sacrificed everything to become a missionary, she died. And so he was the husband, and he was there with his little newborn baby. Now, immediately in his own heart, a whole lot of bitterness came into his own heart. He's resentful, saying, God, we gave everything for you. We forsake this career. We forsake everything. We're here in Africa. We responded to you. And here we are in all the midst of this. And now my wife is dead. She's only 27 when she died. And so he became very bitter, very angry. He left that place. He returned back to where the Eriksson family were, and he just gave them the baby and said, "You look after this baby." And I said, "I don't want anyone to ever mention God in my presence ever again." And he's so hard-hearted, so full of bitterness, and actually went off and became an alcoholic. And so, pretty sad story. And the little baby, actually is even sadder, because the family that the baby was given to, the Eriksson family, they still wanted to continue missionary work. They went to another village, but they both died suddenly, and it was suspected that they were poisoned by the chief of the village. So again, this little baby, another American couple that were there ended up taking this little baby. Her name was Arnie, they called her Aggie. And so they took this little girl. So she'd lost her parents. She'd lost the other ones that were looking after her. She didn't really know them. And then this family really raised her as their own daughter. So she grew up and really wanted to know about her father, because she wanted to know who her father was. And so when she's about 40 years of age, she actually got married, and she was married to a president of a Bible college, actually. She's a full-on believer in the things of God. And so she was trying all of the time trying to find her father, trying to track him down somewhere in Sweden. So eventually her and her husband, they got some tickets, a round trip to go to Sweden. And on the way there, that they had a layover. Now, we're talking 1920s, all right? So it's, the travel and everything takes a lot longer than it does now. And so they had a stopover. They had to stay in London. They restock and whatever they're doing there. And so during that time, that they went along to the Royal Albert Hall, and there was a missions convention in process. And while they were there, they heard this African gentleman who was speaking about the incredible things that were happening in Zaire, in Belgium, Congo, as it was known at that time. And she was really excited to see this guy talking about all of these things that were happening over there. And so at the end of it, she sort of made her way and went up to him and said, look, did you ever hear, because she's desperate to hear anything about her parents, did you ever hear anything about Sophia Flood? David and Sophia Flood, did you ever hear of those missionaries? And he said, actually, yes, I did. It was Sophia Flood was the one that led me to the Lord when I was just a boy. And they had a baby girl, but I don't know what happened to her. He made the comment. And Aggie exclaimed, because I gave her the name Aggie, I am that girl, I'm Aggie, or Ina, which was her real name. And so the preacher went on to explain, like he remember he was the only convert, but out of his ministry, there was 110,000 Christians there. There was 32 mission stations had been stated. There was several Bible schools and also a 120-bed hospital. All came out of the life of that one little boy that they administered to. And so, and that just shows you the faithfulness of God, but more than that. And so after the next day, they went to Stockholm, because remember, they're there trying to find the father. So I'll just read this. They drove to an impoverished area and entered a rundown building. Inside, liquor bottles lay everywhere. And lying on a cot in the corner was her father, the one-time missionary, David Flood. He was 73 years old and suffering from diabetes. And so he was there, bottles everywhere, just drinking himself. And Aggie began crying, Dad. So she saw him, she found him, she said, Dad, I'm your little girl, the one that you left in Africa. The old man had turned at her and looked at her. Tears formed in his eyes. He said, I never meant to give you away. I just couldn't handle a new baby. Aggie answered, It's okay, Daddy. God took care of me. Suddenly her father's face darkened. God didn't take care of you, he raged. He ruined our whole family. He led us to Africa and then betrayed us. Nothing ever came of our time there. It was a waste of our lives. Weeping, Aggie told him about the black preacher she'd met in London, how the Congo had been evangelized through him. It's all true, Daddy, she said. Everyone knows about that little boy convert. God didn't fail us. He was faithful. Suddenly, David Flood broke. All the lies of the devil evaporated. Tears of sorrow and repentance flowed down his face, and God restored him. And that's such a wonderful, powerful story. Yeah. So he'd been faithful. They were faithful, you know, to become missionaries, gave everything. That's very faithful. Tragedy hit them. And then so he hardened his heart to God and became very bitter against God, drinking himself into a stupor, not looking after himself. And yet, out of the faithful act of going, God, that one little boy, amazing, 110,000 Christians at that time because of, and this would have been about in the 1960s, because of that little boy in his ministry. And again, it shows you the faithfulness of God, because not only does she get to see her daddy again, her daddy just repents. He softens his heart and he gives his heart and he's back in a relationship with the Lord. And so that beautifully shows me the faithfulness of God. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He is a faithful God. And you're going to muck it up. You're going to let him down. But even when you're not faithful, he's going to be faithful. He's going to be there. He's the one that is there for us. And I'll just read this passage again just as we close. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, give your heart to him. Get rid of the junk of your life. Let that die and take the hope and life of Jesus Christ. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, hang in there. Hang in there. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God is a faithful God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Learn those things. If we died with him, we will live with him. The early church knew all of this. If we endure with him, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Father, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And Lord, for anyone that is here that doesn't know you, Lord, their whole life has been faithless to you, Lord. But Father, I thank you, Lord, because of your great love, because of your heart towards us, Lord, that we can turn to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this day, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, they will turn their heart to you. And Lord, they will know your love and grace and your forgiveness, Lord, your restoration, Lord, in their own heart. And Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are going through difficulties at this time, Lord, that we will endure. Lord, because you're going to help us, Lord, because you're faithful. But Lord, there's also a great reward in doing so. Father, let us, everyone, hold on who's going through struggles at this time. Father, we don't want to be ones who ever disown you, Lord. But Lord, we know that we are sometimes faithless to you. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful even when we're not. Lord, our heart is, Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to honor you, Lord. We want to serve you, Lord, because you love us so much. So, Father, let faithfulness be our portion, Lord, even as you are faithful. Lord, let us be faithful. But we thank you, Lord, for your promise that you're there, Lord, that you're never faithless, Lord. You're never going to just turn your back on us, Lord. You don't just dump us. You don't say, oh, well, you did that, that's it. Lord, you're faithful. Your heart is always towards us. And, Lord, we are so grateful for that, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Let us live as faithful people, Lord, who have a faithful God. Lord, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.